top the Van Dam building in the heart of Ronville. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. Yowza, yowza, yowza.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Yowza, yowza. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am. It's a pleasure to be here with you. How is your Thanksgiving? Don't answer, I can't hear you. It's rhetorical. Here was the great thing about my Thanksgiving. I didn't do anything. It was fantastic. I didn't have to do anything. I cooked because I love to cook. And I prepared a wonderful meal, had some peeps over, ate the food, sat down on the couch, loosened my belt, fell asleep. Wonderful. Had a Black Forest pie. Yeah, like a Black Forest cake, only in pie form with Cool Whip on it. Oh my God. I couldn't stop eating it. I'm still eating it now. I'm going to eat it till it's gone. Anyway, there you have it. That's enough theme song. Thank you. Welcome to the program. How are you? Relax. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. I know. I know you've done horrible things in your life. I'm aware of it. But it's all right. Just don't talk for a while. That's all I ask of you. Please. Well, some bad news, and I'll gloss over it because we don't know the deal yet, but South Africa, thanks for being here, South Africa, a new COVID variant in South Africa discovered. The WHO is investigating it. That's that British rock band. I don't know what they have to do with Now, the WHO is the World Health Organization, and they're trying to figure out if this variant is significant or whether it's going to be another global situation like the Delta was, the airline. So, this variant, the South African one, I don't know what it's called, it's popped up already in some European countries, the Western European countries, and it's, you know, in Europe, they're all connected next to each other. It's like Virginia being next to West Virginia. There's no borders, really, hardly. It's right there, man. It's starting to spread already. So I don't know. The stock market yesterday or Wednesday plummeted into the ground, even though there wasn't a stock market yesterday. The stock market opened across on the other side of the globe. You know, things are earlier. They already happened or something, I guess. Dow futures are down over 400 points already, nearly 1,000 is predicted a drop because they don't know about the variant. The variant could slow the global economy, which means lockdowns again. A couple of European nations have already introduced lockdowns because of this new variant out of South Africa. So, you know, this little Donald Trump, this little thing that was going to go away as soon as the weather got warmer in the early spring, you got that one wrong, Don. I'm sorry to say it, man, but You were so dead last wrong on this one. It's not funny at all. Anyway, that's the bad news. Hopefully, this variant may just punch itself out or could become the new thing. Who knows? I don't know. Bottom line, I'm not preaching. I'm not a preacher. I don't stand in front of a congregation on a pulpit. I don't preach. Actually, I do. Come to think of it, I do. Get the damn vaccine, man. Get the damn vaccine. What are you holding out for? It's going to get tougher for you. And you, who are not vaccinated, will become the breeding ground for this new stuff. It's going to breed right in you, baby. Get the vaccine and shut up. Okay, thank you. Sometimes you got to take a hard line. It's got to be tough love. It's got to be tough love. And the tough part of it about it is I don't even love you. So just get the vaccine. Here's some other weird news. I sometimes feel like I'm a soothsayer, and other times I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I know your opinion on which one that is. 2 weeks ago on this show, not even 2 weeks, could have been last week. I don't know. I have no concept of time anymore. I did a whole show about the fact that prices were rising by 40, 50% across the board on everything. Food, utilities, dishwashers, you name it. Prices going up everywhere. Except one place, and that was the dollar store. Everything is still a dollar. Dollar store hasn't changed its prices since 1823. I don't know if that's true or not. Haven't changed their prices in over decades when they started up as a dollar store. Well, in the news a couple of days ago, I guess I could should have kept my mouth shut. Should have, could have, would have. I guess they heard the show, the dollar store people, Dollar Tree, Dollar Pants, Dollar Ficas, Dollar General, Dollar Schmaller, all those stores heard the show, I guess, and decided to raise their prices. There will be no more dollar store per se. They don't know what they're going to call the name of the store. You can still call it dollar. Even if everything was $30, it's still multiples of dollars, so it still can be a dollar store. Or thought everything was a dollar. No. Everything has a dollar in the name of the price. It's $30. Well, they're still dollars. They're raising their prices. They're negotiating now amongst themselves whether everything will be $1.25. Or $1.49, not $1.50. That would be ridiculous. $1.49. It's a store. They psychologically play with prices. Anyway, that's a fact. That's going to take place the beginning of January, in just a little over a month from now. No more stuff a dollar anymore. No, the prices are going to vary. They'll be low, but they'll raise by anywhere from 25% to 50%. So, you know, hey, let me tell you something. If you can afford a dollar, you can afford $1.50. I really don't think that's going to break anybody's ass. But nonetheless, it's just psychologically a sign of our times. There's no question about that. And you know, once prices go up, they rarely go down. It can happen with gasoline and oil, which may actually happen because of this variant. People might travel less if the variant starts spreading and oil prices will go down. That's nice. Now I can't travel anywhere, so can't put gas in my car. Now your prices come down. That's nice. But that's the way it works. So that's the dollar store news. Other news in the economy. Of course, this is not where you come for news, so I don't know what the hell you're doing here. The other news is that Sears and Kmart, they're owned by the same faction. This may be their last year of business. They are floundering big time. And of course, the pandemic kind of put a nail in the Kmart coffin. Their blue light special is starting to dim. Sears, I still don't understand. I go into a Sears store. It's like there's no cash registers. There's just a guy named Bob up front. I don't understand. Sears is just about out of it. So that's another. Remember, I don't know if how old you are, millennials, but there used to be a Sears catalog. It was like the gigantic. It looked like the Bible. They had everything in the Sears catalog. To have no more Sears anymore. They've been out cataloged. They just have. Prices are crazy, man. The stupidest thing in the world is something we deal with every day. I've talked about it on the show, but not for quite some time, but it is the stupidest pricing game ever. And that is the price of gasoline. When you go to your gas station, your filling station, go down to the filling station to gas up your car, you are participating in the stupidest pricing game ever devised by a human being. Because if you know, just take a look. It's there every day. It's the same thing. The price of a gallon of gas, I'll just say, let's say it's like $3.25. It's not $3.25. It's $3.25 and 0.9 cents. It's $3.25 9. It's just, it can't be $3.26. It's got to be just a tick under that. And we're not even talking cents here. We're talking about 0.1 cents, which is not a monetary faction. Next time when you go to the gas station, look at the price and laugh to yourself that there's a 9 at the end always. It's just so freaking stupid. It's never like a $3.25, 0.9 or whatever, 0.9. It's always 0.9. It's never 0.8 or 0.7. It's always 0.9. It's the stupidest psychological pricing thing ever devised. Go on, go to the gas station. Don't go now. I'm busy. I'm talking to you. Don't be rude. But next time you go to the gas station, and I know you will sometime, when you fill up your car, look at that price and say to yourself, you're right. Ron was right. This is freaking stupid. It is. That's 'cause it is. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program. It's a very, very interesting. I think it was early this week, was the anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. I don't like the term anniversary for horrible things, like the anniversary of 9/11. What do you get for that anniversary? What kind of gift do you, it's just, don't use the term anniversary. Don't take an anniversary, which is supposed to be a happy occasion, and refer it to something that was horribly horrendous. It's just, don't do it. Come up with another word. I don't know what it would be. It's not my job to come up with words, but don't call it an anniversary of a tragedy. I mean, don't do that. Just stop it now. You're ruining good things and happy things. Call it something else. I don't know what it would be. I don't know. Just say it was like 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, something like that. You know, like Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, you know, is 20 years ago today, whatever. Don't use the term anniversary unless you're going to use a cake somewhere in there. Don't say that. Don't say that term. Okay. Anyway, it was the anniversary of the assassination of JFK, and to this day, we're in a world of conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories back then were not a lot, you know, it was quite interesting. Now it's just like, oh, shut up with your conspiracy shit, will you? Enough with the conspiracy stuff. If I say red, you'll say blue. If I say 2, you'll say 5. I mean, you just won't ever agree with me no matter what. It's just a thing. If someone says something good about something, someone's going to say something bad about something. It's just, oh, I'm so sick of you. I'm so sick of you. I'm so sick of society. You people screwed up society really bad. Oh, man, what you did to it. Anyway, we have an interesting author who has done some extensive research and more research than has ever been done on the subject of the assassination. Was it a lone gunman or was it not? He's got a new book out, and I think he's going to clear this up once and for all, and we'll see what happens. That's coming up very shortly on the program. And when I say very shortly, I'm not referring to anybody's height. I wouldn't do something like that. Although really short people are amusing. They really are. That Napoleonic complex thing, have you heard about that? Very, very short people. And I'm not putting them down. I'm not putting them down. I'm just saying some people are tall, some people are short, some people are just right. It's like the mama bear and the papa bears, like Goldilocks. But the real short people, it's not their fault, you know. It's not their fault that they're short. They used to think that, you know, smoking will stunt your growth. You'd have to smoke a lot to be that small. Really short people like Napoleon, they have Napoleonic complexes. And that would be the Napoleon complex. They heighten themselves through personality where their physical height cannot compare. And that borders on the line of obnoxious. Actually, it exceeds the line. Tall people tend to be laid back because they don't have to make spectacles of themselves because they are so obviously there. So they tend to be what they call gentle giants. And the very short people are what they tend to call little shits. I'm not putting people in categories. I'm simply stating fact. Not everybody's, you know, no, not everybody's something just because of a category. That's absolutely absurd. I know a lot of short people that are just wonderful, and I know a lot of short people that really don't belong on the planet, and that's the same for tall people, too. I don't know. Very, very boring week, isn't it? Yeah. Thanksgiving wasn't like... Today's supposed to be Black Friday. And that term makes me a little nervous because I don't understand anymore. I don't understand the difference between a racial movement and shopping. I don't get the... Anyway, today's a day you're supposed to be getting all these bargains on various things. I want to advise you about something. Not because I'm your father or your grandfather or your wife, but because I am a caring individual and I tend to want people to live a happy, full, stress-free existence. You can't do things anymore without thinking about it five times first. This is scam season. It starts today and it runs through the holidays. Every person who wants to take your money and scam you out of your dollars through false pretenses have come out of the woodwork, and they are there in droves, using every single social media, email, text, you name it, you got it, junk mail, you'll be paying money for something you're never going to get. The scariest thing is that now these scammers can mirror actual websites, or websites if you can't speak properly. They can mirror websites, so you open your email and you see, oh, something from CVS. Oh, there's the logo and there's the CVS. Yeah, I recognize it. But it's not CVS. It's somebody that's put together a website that looks exactly like the CVS website. And you're done. You can be scammed out of a couple of bucks or hundreds or thousands of dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, be very careful. Don't react quickly. And the way that they do this is they say, today only. Yeah, it's today only, all right. You send them the money through your credit card, and you make the purchase online or through PayPal or PenPal, whatever the case may be, or Bitcoin. And it's one day only because they take the site down and they take your money with you, and you can't do anything about it because they can't be found. Oh, it's one day only. Oh, yeah, it sure is. Double check everything. We live in a society where you need to double check everything. If your loved one looks at you and says, you know, I love you, your response should be, oh, wait a minute, not so fast. I have to check that out. Do you really love me? I'm not so sure about that. You scamming me? No, I think that's, I don't think you have to worry about that. But otherwise, you do. All right. My guest is going to join us momentarily. We're going to find out once and for all, hopefully, about this Kennedy assassination thing. We'll take a quick commercial break. And then, you know, whatever. Hey, did you enjoy your turkey yesterday? Well, you know, there were a lot of people that don't eat meat, so they enjoyed the holidays with a little something different.
Looking for someplace new and fun to take the family for breakfast? Then it's time to try Greg's House of Avocado Toast, featuring all your breakfast favorites: white toast, wheat toast, rye toast, yes, even multigrain toast, and more, all topped with creamy avocado. Or mix it up a little with a toasted English muffin topped with avocado. Come in every Thursday for our chef's special creation, sourdough toast with avocado. If it's toast with avocado on top, you'll find it, and nothing else, at Greg's House of Avocado Toast.
Fred Litwin is with us. He's the author of an interesting book on the trial of delusion. Thanks for being with us today, Fred.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you very much.
This subject just never goes away, and it gets more interesting all the time with new developments. Of course, recently was the JFK assassination anniversary, and the controversy goes on. But I understand from your book that it's we're making something more of what really is quite obvious.
I think so. I mean, I think there really is no controversy here when you really have a hard look at the evidence. Lee Harvey Oswald killed John F. Kennedy, and there was no conspiracy. And you just have to look at this case honestly, and the evidence is actually quite overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, over the years, conspiracy theorists have muddied the waters, and a lot of people are somewhat confused.
Well, yes, a lot of conspiracy people think we never landed on the moon, et cetera, and I don't want to get into the political end of it. But yeah, I mean, that seems to be the case. Yeah. But where did that conspiracy theory come from? It seems like it was so well considered, especially in the movie version, as we well know.
I think the Warren Commission made a very, very big mistake. And what they did when they reported in September 64, first they were forced to report early because Johnson didn't want them to interfere with the election in 1964, so they weren't really finished. But they didn't examine JFK's autopsy, x-rays, and photographs. If they had assembled a team of the best forensic pathologists and analyzed them back then, we would have had a clear identification of the wounds and trajectories of the bullets. And that would have forestalled a lot of the criticism that came in the 1966 and 1967. Yeah. So the Warren Commission made a few errors that really opened the doors for conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. What about some of the witnesses that said that with the grassy knoll situation, were they making it up, or where did that come from?
No, well, you know, Daley Plaza was a bit of an echo chamber, so you had all these buildings around there, mm-hmm. so there'd be a lot of reverberations from bullets, and people weren't quite sure where they came from. Most people thought the shots came from the Texas School Book Depository. Mm-hmm. Some people thought it came from the knoll. But what I find interesting is that there's really only two or three witnesses who thought they came from two different directions.
Oh, that's it.
And that's interesting. So people were very clear that the shots only came from one direction. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, if you were shooting, I don't know if you've been there, but Daly Plaza is quite small.
Yes.
And if you were shooting from the knoll behind that picket fence, there's no way people would have missed you.
Yeah. Well, and you're right, the reverberations are incredible there. As most gunshots tend to be. It's like a valley echo chamber in that thing. The other side of the coin is something that interests me as well, and that's this Lee Harvey Oswald, if he was the lone gun person. Why? I mean, who was he? What was his deal? Because the conspiracy goes in that direction as well, as far as, Jack Ruby taking him out. I mean, that seems a little convenient, in the basement of a...
It does seem convenient. Oswald was a Marxist. Mm-hmm. He had defected to the Soviet Union in 1959, went to work in a radio factory in Minsk. He became very unhappy and disillusioned with life in the Soviet Union, and he came back in 1962 mm-hmm. to the United States. But he was a committed Marxist. And after he came back, he turned his attention to the revolution in Cuba, and he became a big admirer of Fidel Castro.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he did this as a blow for the Cuban Revolution.
I
think he knew that from his left-wing newspapers that the United States was engaging in a sort of a semi-official war against Castro.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was very upset, and this was a blow for the Cuban Revolution.
Wow.
As for Jack Ruby, it was just happenstance that he happened to be there.
Mm-hmm.
He almost missed. I mean, he actually only fired one shot, and he got Lee Harvey Oswald in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors almost saved Oswald's life. So he was not the greatest mobster gunman that you would think of.
Well, he didn't have all that much opportunity to be perfect there. It's fascinating, and I will tell the public here that Fred, this isn't just another book about that subject matter. Your research has been exhaustive. I mean, you've just hit every rock and every corner.
Well, I've traveled all across the United States for my second book to find all the material I could find on Jim Garrison, who mm-hmm. was the prosecutor in New Orleans who charged businessman Clay Shaw in 1967. With conspiracy to kill JFK.
Mm-hmm.
So I went all across the U.S. and found every primary document I could find, and I published quite a few in my book. And I really proved that Jim Garrison was a dangerous conspiracy theorist who, unfortunately, was elected to public office.
Wow. Let me just stand to the side here a little bit. You're also, you founded Northern Blues Music, which is... It's quite extraordinary. How'd you get into that, or is that something that was always there?
No, I used to work in the computer business, and I retired in 2000,
mm-hmm.
and I was working in Singapore, and I came home to Canada, and I was only 43,
mm-hmm.
and I decided, what am I going to do with my life? So I decided to start a blues music label, and I called it Northern Blues.
So cool.
Little did I know that the music industry was going to go through a massive depression starting in 2000 because of the internet.
Yeah.
But I started Northern Blues, and I released over the years 70 CDs of blues music, and half of my artists are American, half are Canadian, and I've been nominated for many, many blues music awards in Memphis. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's bounce back to conspiracies. I like to bounce around in an interview. I hope you don't mind.
By the way, I have one. I did have for a while one Boston artist.
Did you really? Yeah.
Tony Lynn Washington, who is a terrific blues vocalist, who I did one CD with, and actually went to Boston to see her perform.
Wow.
She was just terrific.
That's great. Well, you've done a lot with your life there. Let's talk about conspiracies to cap this off. Are we in some kind of weird social platform danger of just making ourselves known and questioning everything and actually taking the truth and twisting it to the point where there are different kinds of truth? I mean, where are we going with this conspiracy stuff?
It's a good question. It's very, very dangerous because now on the internet and social media, you could find like-minded people very, very easily who believe in your particular conspiracy. Develop a group, and all of a sudden you're off and running and doing all sorts of things. You see it with the crazy QAnon people. My God, the last couple of weeks, the QAnon people have been in Dallas waiting for JFK Jr. to appear.
I believe that.
It's very dangerous because you never know what people's views are. And like with Jim Garrison, you could elect a conspiracy theorist to office. I won't name names, but it's pretty dangerous when that happens.
I think we already did that.
I think so too.
But we could do it again, unfortunately.
That's the lesson. We really have to get back to critical thinking, and we really have to teach Americans, Canadians, everybody to sort of how to understand the news, how to think about it. We need to reinforce this in schools.
The scariest thing of all to me, Fred, is how gullible the public really is and probably always was, but now it's coming to light, and that's a little scary. I mean, I'm not saying it's intelligence or stupidity, but it's gullible cult kind of attitudes that make it a little bit scary here.
It is, and when it comes to something like the COVID vaccine, it actually affects our health and well-being as a nation.
Yeah, and we're still in that, unfortunately, for that reason, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, this book is fascinating. I hope it puts the cap on the question, unless you want to write more books about it. But
oh, there's one more book coming out, and my next book will be sort of a history of conspiracy thinking in the JFK assassination.
Very, very interesting. It wasn't only the assassination. There was a lot of stuff going on behind the doors in the White House, which is, I guess those were the days we just didn't delve into things because we weren't supposed to. I mean, it's like the opposite now, society, than when it was back then.
The Bizarros, if you remember the Bizarros from Superman.
Yes.
We're always the opposites.
That's it, man. That's what it is.
But yeah, I mean, well, the other problem is there's way too much secrecy. And so secrecy breeds conspiracy thinking.
The book is On the Trial of Delusion, Fred Litwin. It's available everywhere. How can people follow you?
Just go to my website, onthetrailofdelusion.com. And I've got a great blog every day. I actually post new documents about the case. So follow my blog.
Great. Hey, great speaking to you. Well, thank you to my guest. Thank you to you for listening. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. But until that time occurs, well, I wish you peace.